kick ass. Whoa, that's kick ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, 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 it is Tuesday, a gorgeous sunny Tuesday here in Kelowna, British Columbia, the center of the known universe. Oh my goodness, I was out this morning. My son catches a bus at 7:30 and so we were out driving through the fields and past the wineries, and it's just, oh my goodness, gorgeous is the word, gorgeous. You know, dedicating the show, by the way, it's Tuesday, which means I have a great guest. I'm in love with the guest, and it's a man. Oh, what do I say about that? You'll see why in a minute. He is just over the top, unbelievable. Just, you know, when you think of the word kindness and contribution and passion and aliveness, you know, this is it. This is this guy. You'll meet him in a sec. Dedicating the show to three people. One of them's a little tiny baby, only 13 months old. Little Amber, that's a dedication going out to you. And wonderful Sanj and Chelsea out of Toronto, Canada. This show's for you. I'm just so proud of you. You know, they're one of the people that have contacted me and really, you know, full of passion and life and dreams and goals and looking for a vehicle, looking for a way to really take their life to the next level. And so I sent them a few things and they embraced and have jumped on board. So now we get to play and we get to talk, not every day, but it's been great talking to you, getting to know you, listening to your story. And yeah, I'm so proud. I'm proud of people that take it, you know, because so many people who ask, you know, when I offer things up, they just, sadly, that brain between our ears just can't be trusted. It's the brain between our ears that gets us into these lifestyles where we're not fulfilled and we're not wealthy. And, you know, that's the sadness. And so, you know, but often it's the thing that makes a decision for us. So here we are, we see a new opportunity. And the brain is going, oh, yeah, I'm not sure this is for me. Well, that's the stuff you have to really counter because, you know, the truth is, you know, based on our results is what we can see how our brain's communicating to us. If we're completely impassioned, alive, fulfilled, wealthy, happy, healthy, great relationships, you know, we know our brain's working on all cylinders. But if we're not, guess what? We can't listen to it. It's going to keep us playing small. That's its job. Its job isn't to make us happy. Its job is not to make us rich. But we are, I think, living our the idea of living and fulfilling our dreams. But and sadly, a lot of us have forgotten how to dream. And talking about dreams, little Van Halen. Don't often play a little heavy rock, but why not? Van Halen on this Tuesday morning before I have my amazing guest come on. Right, spread your wings, get higher. That's right. You know, it's out there. Life is to be lived. And you know, my guest today is again like someone I'm totally in love with. This gentleman is a kind of the rock star of science, and that's all pretty awesome. And he really is. And when we became friends, there's just something about him, that energy, everything that a kick-ass life represents. It's he has that sort of that about him. There's that quality that I just love. And so he's someone that I totally respect and get. And we get to play, you know, you've heard about our trip to the Caribbean, to a private island in Thatch Cay. And, you know, we're not going to be talking about that today per se, but this is the guy that's coming down with his beautiful wife, Leslie. And we're doing a program called Mind, Body, and Spirit. And there are still a few, I can't believe there's a few spots left because some people have said they want to go. and haven't followed through on the commitment yet to actually pay for it, which is always a little bit. There is that other part. Saying yes and paying for it are two different things. So there are, I think, four spots left still. But, you know, at least you get to a chance to hear this guy. And the Mind, Body, Spirit for me is going to be just a gorgeous program. There's wonderful. When we talk about developing personal range and really having that beautiful opportunity to immerse ourselves into, to paradise with inspired human beings and grow ourselves. This is one of those rare opportunities. And again, it's not a lot of money. So if you really are on the edge, jump off the edge. But listen to the show today and just think that you could be down with me and with Michael and Jen and Leslie and really doing this wonderful journey through mind, body, and spirit. And like I say, this guy's a rock star of science and just so alive. When you talk about kick-ass life, we talk about this guy. So a little different song to bring him in. But just sit back, relax, and listen as I have a wonderful conversation with the incredible Dr. Michael Colgan.
There ain't no need to go outside, but just maybe like a ukulele. Mama made a baby, really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me, cause I love to lay you lazy. We could close the curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. Then we could pretend it all the time, Lord. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside.
Ain't no need. Well, you know how I start every show with my excitement, and I'm really excited because, you know, when I get to chat with someone I'm already in love with, this is so much easier. And this guy is someone that, you know, it's just so easy to fall in love with this guy. He's not only brilliant, he's just got the biggest heart. And so, Dr. Colgan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's great to be on it.
You know, I when I look at you, you're a constant stream of inspiration for me in so many ways. And what I love is when I watch you in the quiet moments when, you know, you're kind of in a crowd of people, and I just see how lit up you are all the time. There's kind of this passion that oozes out of every cell. Have you always been that way, or is it just something you learn as you've grown older, or...?
I think you learn a lot about it. I think as you get older, you realize that the purpose of life is passion and joy. There's nothing else. And if you approach life from that point of view, then every day is a good day. Even the day when you get up with a broken leg is a good day. Mm. And you can feel that amazed at that wonder at what is out there all the time. And yet most people that sort of seem to live, and I think I did when I was younger, with shutters on. Mm-hmm. So they don't see it. I'm looking out of my window right now, and I'm seeing a robin sitting on the top of our pool house, and it's fabulous. It's a magnificent creature.
See, I get goosebumps when you speak, because that's what I'm saying. That exactly, it's not that you just said it's magnificent. It's how you, it's like magnificent. It's like every cell in your body is now activated to really enjoy and appreciate the beauty of that robin sitting there. And while we're talking about beauty, I the other thing that inspires me about you is this life by design. And I really do feel that you've earned those credentials. And I've always, it's something that I strive for all the time, that I design my life. And you live in, and have chosen to live in one of the more beautiful parts of the entire world. Can you tell us a little bit about where you live and what it looks like around your farm?
Oh, gosh, yes, it's a beautiful day here on Salt Spring Island. And I'm looking out at the lake, and the lake is calm. And I think the fish will be biting today. It's not too hot. It's excellent spring day. I can see the hill in the distance has got snow on it. And I'm watching some kids riding in my riding ring just in front of the house. We've got a full-size riding ring there. Horses, nature, birds, lake, mountain, snow, grass as far as I can see.
And Salt Spring is really one of those very unique places in the world where people who are artists come there and live there. People who are conscious people come and live there. It really sort of attracts a certain type of person, doesn't it?
It's true, yeah. In the, I think in the 70s and 80s, it was sort of known as a hippie island because there were a lot of the outer culture there here. But now it's changed completely. And yet it still has that very old charm about it in that the local authority doesn't allow any fast food places, doesn't allow all sorts of things. And sometimes it irks you when you try to get a building permit to build a new stable. But and on the other hand, it's kept the place pristine.
Yeah, yeah. And I always think about, you know, you live there with your wife and this whole idea that you've created this. It's a center as well. I mean, you actually do trainings there. But before we get too much into that, because I want to ask you about some of the trainings. And you and I are going to get to play together this year when we're down in Belize. But I really want to explore something. To give context to people listening, and we chatted a little bit before the show, and I mentioned that, you know, this goes out to 166 countries. So there's people in Korea right now listening to this show, and there's people in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's kind of a, you know, a global perspective. And I know you actually were a member of the science faculty of Auckland, right? For 71 to 82. So I always think you're a bit of a global ambassador as well, right?
I went from the University of Auckland to Rockefeller University in New York. And that, spent 3 years there. And then one of my books happened to be, the first book actually, happened to be successful. And that sort of changed my life a bit.
That was the book on vitamins, right?
Yes, yes.
And you
I remember I was an associate professor and struggling at Rockefeller University on a New Zealand salary to make ends meet because of the expense of New York. And I got this check in the mail a year after writing the book, and I looked at the check and I saw a number and I thought it was my social security number, and it was the value of the check. Changed my life.
Well, you know, but and that's the thing, and you're a prolific author. How many books? I mean, I know you've written 50 or more research papers, but how many books have you written?
This is number 22 coming up now.
You're a bit of a slouch potato. But let me give context, because I want people to see what I see. You're 72 now, right? Almost 73, right?
74.
What? Okay, you're 74.
74 next week.
You're 74 next week, and so yeah. we get to celebrate your birthday because we're going to see each other soon. But 74, you still can do, and not only still can do, you do one-arm push-ups. You are incredibly fit. You look like, I mean, really, if someone had to guess your age, and you, what do you think? People guess you, what, 14, 15, maybe 18 years younger than you are? What do you think on the whole?
I had breakfast with a very nice lady in St. Louis just recently whose husband is the same age as I am, and she came to have breakfast with me so that I could maybe do something to help them. And she said, you know, you absolutely close up look in your 40s. So there you go. That's the best one I've got yet.
Well, we'll have to check her eyes. No, but you do. Your skin's radiant. I mean, you exude what I call about, when we talk about this, and as an expert, and you're a foremost expert in the inhibition of aging, and there's somebody who walks their talk. I love it. I love it when you see somebody who's teaching something, but when you look at them, you say, well, that guy should be teaching that. And you really, you have the zest and the passion of a teenager. You have the look of someone in their 50s, and you have this brilliant experience of life, and you're renowned around the world. I mean, you're like a rock star of science. So I'm just saying, man, you know, it's going to be so much fun to play with you down in Belize and really get to hang out and do this program together. But I want to talk a little bit about that, because one of the things you're really passionate about is exercise. And like I said, you know, you're ripped, and you know, one-arm push-ups at 74 is not very common. But what is it? What's the myth about exercise? What is it that's why are we all getting it so wrong?
Well, the major problem with exercise is people have developed exercise in order for gyms to make money. and therefore most of the equipment that's used and most of the exercise systems that are used have nothing to do with human health. They don't even follow the design of the body. And that's what you have to do. You have to say, how was this made? And therefore, how does it work? And unless you do that, the exercise that most people do, like running on treadmills, these weird machines where you wave your arms about and things go elliptical on your feet, this has got nothing to do with the design of the human body. It's got to do with getting people to stand in one place and pay money.
Mm. And so when the this revolution, as it were, has come on, but when you look at elite athletes, I mean, obviously you've worked with a lot of elite athletes. I remember watching the Olympics. We were together during the Olympics, and I remember you looking up at the TV screen and you said, that's one of my guys. I mean, because you still train elite athletes as well, right?
Right, yes. I've been fortunate to learn about exercise from that route. When you get to work with the best, you get to meet the best coaches. When you meet the best coaches, you get the right information. And after a while, you realize that probably 80 to 90% of all the gyms and all the exercise out there has got nothing to do with human fitness and human performance.
Mm. And so when you said something to me earlier, which struck me, was you said when you get a young athlete or you get someone with talent, you kind of have to start from the beginning. In other words, you have to reteach them how to train properly, and that's very common, right?
It's very common. I had 10 days ago a young runner, and he's got talent. And he gave me his workout program, which had 3 days. He's in Canada, remember, the weather is not that good in the winter. 3 days of running on the treadmill. And I said, okay, if you want to train with me, you will never, ever run on a treadmill again. Mm. And he looked amazed. And why? I said, because a treadmill doesn't represent running on the ground.
Mm.
Treadmill changes your whole style and form of running because the belt's going backwards. Your hips change their position. You will never learn to run fast on a treadmill. And he just was amazed because his coach had him running on a treadmill.
Right, right. And what you're able to see, I mean, this is what I really get from you, is you're able to take somebody, we're talking about elite athletes right now, but I mean, your contention is that every single person who wants to age beautifully, and I'm not sure exactly the term you use, but to age well, needs to really understand the fundamentals of exercise and how to exercise correctly so that your body can live and be everything it needs to be. Am I hitting it almost on the right spot?
Yeah, I think so, David. People somehow have got the idea that exercise is an option. It isn't. It's an essential. And they've somehow got the idea, well, we'll do it 3 days a week or we'll do it on Saturdays. That's not an option either because your body works in a circadian rhythm. You have to exercise every day, like cleaning your teeth. If you don't want rotten teeth, you clean them every day. If you don't want a rotten body, you exercise it every day.
Hmm. And it's really funny, though, isn't it, how this kind of look, the look, you know, like we talk about dental hygiene has become this. I mean, my son just went for braces yesterday. You know, he's 15 and he really, I mean, he had an accident when he was young, so he really took some damage in the mouth. So, I mean, his teeth do need some work. It's not this, you know, cosmetic look just to look good. But we seem to be a society where, you know, we do a lot like that, you know, tucks here and tucks there and perfect teeth. But this understanding about how to age beautifully and how to give our body what we need. I mean, the messages coming from the media and from this, all these different points of sale are all selling us the wrong thing, right?
Well, they are. I take dentistry as a model of what has happened that is good, because now very few people have to lose their teeth. We've worked it out. And people worked out if they brush and floss their teeth daily, and you don't have to do much, but you have to do it daily, then you will retain your teeth for your life. If you get some of the, you know, the holes that appear filled up, you'll retain them for life. But when my parents were growing up, it was the most common thing to go into your parents' room and see the teeth in the glass.
I remember that. Yeah, and the worst thing for me, I mean, obviously you're older than I am, but I remember every time, especially with the national health system in England, every single time you went to the dentist, the first thing they do is pull something out of your mouth or fill it full of lead, right?
Well, exactly. That was, I mean, it was terrible back then, but now that's something we've worked out. And it will be in the future that people will work out this exercise thing. It will become... The knowledge will get out there because all of the top athletes, all of the Olympians I've worked with, without exception, do it right. And people wonder how they do it. Oh, they must be born. It must be genetic. Mostly it's not. Mostly it's hard work and the right information that makes them the champions they are.
Let me ask you a question, because this is the thing I see that, you know, I've seen those late night ads for these machines, and I remember one time when I was younger, some machines were delivered at my door, and I thought, I didn't buy those, but apparently I'd had a couple of beers one night, and I'd ordered them through late night television, and they showed up. But you know, when we look at this industry, I think what they're selling, and it always seems to be the same message, oh, this is easy, this is quick, you just have to do this for 30 seconds a day and you're suddenly going to get healthy. If we know that's wrong and we know that that's the need, in other words, the masses out there listening right now, they're trying to find an easy option. Is the contention of what you teach, is it simple or is it something where they're going to have to bust their butts the whole time? And how does it come across?
No, it becomes as simple as cleaning your teeth. If it becomes a routine that you do every day, it only takes minutes. It's very difficult to start, and it's very difficult to get into the daily habit. But those are the difficult things. The actual things you have to do are no more difficult than cleaning your teeth.
Mm. I know on the island, you know, you're coming down, people get to spend a whole week with us training with them. And you're going to be, this is one of the two areas that you're going to focus on, is the whole idea of exercise. And one of the conversations we had, which I find fascinating, is I said, you know, do you need any equipment? And you said, no. Can you talk a little bit about that, about the fact that we can do and have this incredible body without having...
Sure. I can tell your listeners right now over the phone. Can you use your own body weight? Most people cannot. If you think you can use your own body weight, here are two simple things you can try. Once you stand in the middle of the room, stick one leg out at 90 degrees, and then go down on the other leg with a one-leg squat till your buttock touches the back of your leg, and then stand up. If you can do that, you are in the very, very small minority, probably in the top 1% of everyone. And yet it's using your own body weight for a squat. It doesn't have any bars, doesn't have anything on your neck, doesn't have any danger, but most people can't do it. The other one, another simple one, is a one-arm push-up. Can you go right down, put your nose on the ground, and then push up with one arm? Most people can't do that. So why do you need all the equipment? You don't. And those are just two examples. I'll give you 10.
Right. And, of course, what people do is get scared. Now, by the way, I want to say I've seen you interviewed doing one-arm push-ups. It's not that you were just doing push-ups. You were holding something in one hand, talking while you were like having a conversation. This fear of this beginning part, the hard work part of, and you said two things. One was, you know, starting and then getting in the routine, actually in the beginning, just sort of like that early start where you start doing exercises you're not used to and you have that kind of pain. You know, when you're talking to the average person, I don't know what the average person is. Let's pretend there's an average. In other words, the masses. How long does it normally take them to get from the mindset change? So let's say they work with you and they work with this concept. They say, well, you know, it could be easy. It's like cleaning my teeth. You know, they're going to look, feel terrific. But how long's the time when they start to when they feel that they get in the habit? Is it like 90 days? Is it what do you find?
Well, if they're in reasonable shape, then it will only take about 90 days. I mean, if they're in bad shape, it may take 180 days. I've got somebody now who is gone through the, you know, the isogenic thing, and he has lost 50 pounds. He's also got back to the gym, and now he's in good shape. But it's taken him a year and a half.
Right.
So it depends on how, you know, heavy you are, what other health issues you have. But in general, somebody who's in average shape, can tomorrow morning get up, clean their teeth in the morning, have their shower, they can go into their bedroom, they can do one push-up with both arms, just one. And they can put their legs up on the bed and do just one crunch, just one. And the next day do two. And then the next day do three. And that's the way I teach people to do 100 push-ups.
Mm.
And everybody who does it can do 100 push-ups. Now, if you ask the average jock to do 100 push-ups, they'll fail at maybe 60 or 70. Why? Because they don't exercise right.
Yeah. It's really funny. You know, Les Brown is a famous speaker. I don't know if you know Les or not. He's a friend of mine. And I remember on stage one time, he did 78 or 84 push-ups in a row. And he's 68. And he said, "Yo, I just do one new, every day. I add one, you know." And it was amazing to see somebody, you know, just go down and do it relatively easily. But that's that whole idea, right? Of that gradual build, and that's key,
David. If you do it with the circadian rhythm, every day your body goes through this amazing physiological rhythm. One third of your whole physiological process of your life is spent in sleep time. You may not sleep during that time, but your body's sleeping. And if your body's not getting the sleep, it's not recovering. And whatever you did that day is going to be reflected in the way the body grows that night.
Hmm, that's awesome. Now, as far as then, let me sort of recap what I've heard. And again, because I know that people listening, they hear different ways. We're saying then that the everything that's mechanical, everything's being sold, the gyms, that's an industry, that's a business. But people can, through following these rhythms of the body and through a gradual process of understanding, they can completely change their health in an easy way. It's not a fearful way. It's not this bus. It's learning the right thing and then building on the right thing gradually over time. Did I hear all that right?
Yes, that's it.
Awesome. And then
I'm glad your friend had the same idea about the push-ups, because it works for everyone.
Yeah, well, he probably was inspired by you. So then talk to a little bit about when people come down to the island with us again, you know, during this 7 days we spend together, you're going to help them understand this close face to face. And we're going to, because it's called mind, body, spirit, you are going to help them with understanding how to treat the body, right?
Yes, I hope so. I think that that they will leave the island with a completely different idea of what exercise they need to do to maintain their body for life.
Sure. And if you were to look at what you considered, like yourself, 72, I mean, you must know that at 74, I'm sorry, that you're pretty rare at your age group, right? To be as healthy and as vibrant as you are.
Yes, but I'm just an ordinary guy. All I do is follow the right information. And ordinary people just follow the right information and you'll do extraordinary things.
So, as we close the exercise conversation, because I know that we could talk about a million things. I mean, as a sort of a research scientist, I mean, you're a formulator. I mean, we could go into many, many directions, but I want to try and keep you in a couple right now. As we close the book on the exercise piece, if I ask you this question to sort of tie a ribbon on it and said, look, what is healthy aging to you in the physical body? How do you describe what it is to be vibrantly healthy as you age?
You get up in the morning, your arms work, your legs work, you're not in pain, and you can look up and see the sun, and you feel like you want to get out there and explore the wonder of the day. That's the way to feel.
You're so great. All right, we're turning the page right now. The other contention you have is when you talk about the cleaning the teeth model. I've heard you talk about this on stage, and we're fortunate to have shared the same stage together. But you know, when you talk about cleaning your teeth daily, the other contention you have about aging is that everyone in the world seems to have a rotten brain. Can we talk a little bit about brain?
Yes, I use dentistry because, you know, I remember my parents, and at the time, and going around to my relatives and things when I was a child. And the thing you would do when you tiptoed into their rooms in the morning is you would see their teeth in the glass. That doesn't happen anymore because we've learned how to do it. we've learned how to take care of our teeth. Now, our brain controls everything, every thought, every movement we make. You know, that's why I teach athletes about the brain, because brain speed controls body speed. The brain has to make a response first before the body can move. Yet, today in our culture, we take our brain for granted. We consider that that the brain's going to work away anyway, and we spend a hell of a lot of time on our teeth or on other cosmetic things. Yet if the brain fails for even a second, you cannot move. And if we, as we progress, as we get further knowledge, it will become culturally essential to take care of your brain. In 2011, Barack Obama passed the National Alzheimer's Protection Act, which admits that there is no effective treatment once people have memory loss, they become completely dependent. And the number of people, David, this is a shock, 22,000 a day are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in the United States, the main symptom of which is profound memory loss. And they admit there's no cure. The drugs do not work. And there's $100 million a year, which is being given out now for research grants, to try and find an effective treatment by 2025. And yet most people, they're dead scared of even talking about memory loss. Mm-hmm. And yet it is very easy to take care of the brain. It's very easy to take as much care of your brain as you take of your teeth. It's not a hard thing to do, but it's culturally, it's not acceptable yet. It's not what we do. And so will continue to decline at the rate into Alzheimer's at the rate of 22,000 a day.
Right. And is it the increase, like you talk about 22,000 people with Alzheimer's, is it because we can read brains better that we have this, or is there something else going on? Are people, because of television and because of the toxicity and the food and all these other things, are all these elements sort of compounding the brain?
We have a tremendous problem with the food and the environment. In 2011 and 2012, the American Lung Association published two reports using data from the Environmental Protection Agency showing that the air in the United States is now dirtier than it ever has been in history, and that includes the Industrial Revolution. Ever in history, 149 million Americans are living in air that is often too toxic to breathe. In Canada, they're a bit more fortunate. Canada's a big and underpopulated country in American terms, and therefore the air is a little cleaner. But I examined the records from 2002 to 2009, and both ozone and particulate matter are rising dramatically in all big Canadian cities. So we are in a very toxic environment. Now, to connect that directly with degeneration of the brain is a tricky business, and nobody wants to do it, because nobody really, really wants to go green. There's an awful lot of talk about going green. There's an awful lot of talk about stopping the carbon dioxide, becoming greener, but we don't do it. We don't do it at all. In fact, we get worse and worse. So there are lots of things that could be affecting the brain, because oxygen is the primary food. Oxygen, if the oxygen is mixed with particulate matter or ozone, it goes straight to the brain. It's pretty obvious from farm workers where pesticides have been used on crops, they have a much higher rate of brain degeneration than people who are in other environments. So we know that things in the air affect the brain, but we can't directly connect it, because if we did directly connect it, I believe that people would put governments out of office until they did something about it. But we're not going to do anything about it.
It's interesting.
So we have to take care of ourselves.
It's interesting, though, like, you know, you spent a lot of time in New Zealand, and in New Zealand, I mean, they really, really seem to have a different philosophy when it comes to, you know, raising cattle and use of pesticides and all that. But because they're part of the globe, I mean, the winds that fly into their countries and the weather that comes in brings all the toxins from around. I mean, so there's really nowhere to hide from that part, is there?
There's not a lot of places to hide. No, I live on salt spring because I chose it deliberately. Now, we know that the toxins in downtown Vancouver, the toxins in the air are approximately 12 times what they are here on the island. And that's only 30 minutes away by float plane. So there are places that are pretty clean, and there are places that are very, very dirty.
Hmm. But that's really just one part of it. So if we talk about the brain, then what is it you would like to see? What do you, if you know, again, average people? Remember, we're talking to a whole global audience here from all around the world. What's some things that we could be thinking about to have more of a healthy brain?
Well, the brain has almost limitless power, almost limitless. The brain has no speed limit either. People can, you know, as a scientist, I can tell you the rate of firing of a nerve, etc., but I can't tell you the rate of expansion of thought in the brain, because that is faster than the speed of light. We know that. If it's below the speed of light, it's only just below it. But we don't take advantage of that. Most of us, we stop learning to read when we're 10. We stop learning to read. So that means that when you get people at college, and I know I used to be a college professor, they can't read. They can read like a 10-year-old, but they can't really read. They can't read in chunks, read in whole sentences. But people who have people who have worked with their brain can. They can read massive chunks of information in one glance.
You know,
the whole thing.
I want to tell you, one of my guests, Jim Quick, who's another friend of mine, he quick learning is his thing. You know, he read a book every single day for a year, a whole book, and he teaches. And there's different techniques for speed reading, but he has this comprehension afterwards at like 89%, and reading a book a day, and he can read them in minutes. You watch him turn a page and then talk about what's in the book. It's unbelievable to see, and that's possible for everyone, right?
It's possible, I mean, maybe not to that extent, but it's possible for most of the students that I have taught to read much better and much faster with much greater comprehension, much less work, but they don't do it. It's like learning to type. Lots of people learn to type to a certain degree, including me. I know, I'm a, what you might call a slow typist. My wife is a lightning typist.
Two thumbs and a foot.
Yeah, well, a bit more than that, but compared to my wife, who went and took 3 years of actual typing courses to type, and part of the course was that you type with a hood over the computer, so you can't see it at all, nothing on the computer, and you get to learn every single button by position, by touch. And you get to be extremely fast, like learning to play the piano. You can use every finger freely. But it takes a while. But we all have those things built into our brain. Remember, it's the brain that does all this. It's not the fingers. The brain makes the changes. And we all have these amazing, amazing skills latent in us, waiting to be brought out, yet most of us don't do it. Most of the kids I know, including, you know, some fairly close to me, as soon as they finished college, they said, well, thank God for that. I never have to do any more SWAT in my life again. And that's a crazy way of thinking about life. Really, you should get up in the morning, every morning, and think, what new great thing am I going to learn today? How am I going to make my brain move better, move faster, do better, think better, be more creative? And we all have it in us. We just have to get the information to bring it out. And that's something I hope that we'll be covering when we go down to Belize.
That's awesome. So then we've got this idea then we can get up and we can train the brain. So if one of the things we can do is train the brain, and that's true. I love that philosophy, though, is what can I learn today? So learning then becomes one of the things that will fire the synapses and keep the brain youthful. Is that right?
Of course, of course. The brain, in 1997, Rusty Gage and Peter Erickson, two colleagues of mine at the Salk Institute, they proved for the first time that the older human brain can develop new cells. It was a complete breakthrough. It was nothing that was in the textbooks. We'd all been taught the brain has a certain complement of neurons, and they gradually decline during life. And Erickson and Gage, following a lot of animal work, they proved that it happens in humans. And since then, every single medical textbook has been changed to reflect this. And now neurogenesis, as it's called, the growth of new neurons, is a huge research area. And we have all of the characteristics we need now to get the brain to maximize neurogenesis. We know how to do it. In fact, it's being done. I can tell you that large companies are now employing people like me to go in and work with their top executives to maximize their neurogenesis, because they want their top executives to be smarter. And it's possible. It's absolutely possible.
And that's what they're saying. All the studies right now, almost everything that we've learned about the brain, I mean, all the old ways of thinking are being rethought, right? Because they're finding new stuff out every day with the new equipment they can measure. So that really everyone, and we talk about this in personal growth terms, is that we can completely change everything about us can change. Our physical body, our mental outlook, our results, our wealth, everything can change once we step into this understanding that we're not always born a certain way, that we're going to, you know, or we grew up with bad parents and we were, you know, if we had a hard life and we have low self-esteem, everything can change. I mean, someone who has low self-esteem can turn out and create the life of their dreams, right?
I think so. I think you put it right, David. It sticks in my mind. Every master was once a disaster.
Including us. All right. So what else? Is there anything else you want to chat about? I'd like to talk about the brain for a couple more minutes here, and then we'll sort of go on to something else. But is there anything else about the brain? Again, we're talking to the masses, and maybe they want to have a chance to come play with you on the island. Obviously, we only have a handful of spots left anyway. But any wisdoms, any thoughts, anything that someone could be doing on a daily basis right now, apart from the learning part, is there anything else they can be doing?
Yes, I think there are three things for the brain. Optimum oxygenization, which comes with exercise. Second, optimum nutrition. That's something that I developed in that the supplement Brain Boost and Sleep Support.
Use every day.
And the third thing is stimulating the brain in particular ways to develop its faculties. And if you want to see this yourself, you can go on to any of the best sites. The two best ones are Lumosity, Lumosity.
Say that one more time slowly, just so everyone can have time to get a pen.
Lumosity. And the other one is POSIT Science, POSIT Science. Now, POSIT Science came from the University of California in San Francisco and Harvard, and Lumosity came from Yale and Stanford. So there's a lot of competition between them. They're both very good, but the best thing about it is they will give you your score in relation to the rest of the population in five or six different areas of brain function: flexibility, memory, coordination, problem solving, and they differ a little bit, and speed, brain speed. They differ a little bit in their particular exercises, but the most important thing is that you can go in there and take a measurement now. You can take your baseline, and then you can start applying things that we know to your brain and see what happens.
Hmm. Didn't you do an exercise one time? I'm sure it was you, where you had me close my eyes, and was it balance or something?
Yes. Well, one of the first things to go in the brain is balance. And this is an actual exercise to test older people to see how their brain functions. You simply stand on one leg, and then when you've got your balance comfortable on one leg, you close your eyes, and then you count to 20. If you can reach 20, like 20 seconds, then your balance system is okay. But the balance system is one of the first to go in the brain, and if you can only do 5-6 seconds, then you know that you need some attention. It's like having a hole in your teeth. You've got to fill it up.
Well, again, when I go back again to the picture I see of you with someone who's, you know, decided to live somewhere really beautifully, you know, you look after your body in a way where by results, you know, one-arm push-ups, whatever it is. I mean, I've watched you in the gym, and it's like an 18-year-old working out, but just the fun. I mean, you make it look like it's fun. It doesn't look like hard work. It looks like somebody who truly is in harmony with their body. And then, you know, just the way you show up with these passions and that you really have that lightning wit and speed. So, I mean, again, by results, everything you're doing, if anyone looks at you at 74, everything you say, regardless of science, because, I mean, the science is one thing. There's a lot of people could say, oh, that's science, you know. But the truth is, by results, everything you say, you walk, you talk, you live. And that's when you open the call up and you talk about how you see the world. Do you find that people with healthy brains and healthy bodies show up in the world differently and really squeeze the juice out of life?
Well, I think they do. I think that the first avenue to doing extraordinary things is to make yourself extraordinary inside. Release that power that's within you, because it is. It's within people. I would never have believed when I've taken them and they've somehow doggedly followed what I've said, and then they start to enjoy it, and then their life starts to become fun, and then they become a different person. And it was all there inside them.
Hmm.
And yet they could have gone on through their life and never, ever have found it.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, Leslie, your wonderful wife, I know you work together closely in the Colgan Institute. And so people can find you, the Colgan Institute, ColganInstitute.com. We'll have that as links on the website as well so they can find you. I know it's a great, great resource. What are you most excited about for this trip for Belize? I mean, you're coming down to this island. I know that, you know, you're excited about it, and it's something that you're really looking forward to, but you're both coming down to play with Jen and I. What's your thoughts around this week?
Well, the fun is the big thought, but also the opportunity to really get in depth with people for a few days. We haven't had a camp here on the island for a while because I've been traveling a lot. And to get in depth and see the changes in their eyes, see the changes in their face, in their attitude, see the changes in the way that they move and that they walk. Changes that I hope they'll go away with and will stay with them, because it's the road to a different life.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm so looking forward to that. And I always ask this last question, you know, when we get to the end of the show. The show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have spent some time with you. And I know Leslie's been to programs with me. But, you know, you kind of get that I'm pretty passionate about a kick-ass life. But what does it mean to you? What does a kick-ass life mean to Dr. Michael Colgan?
Well, it means that 74... I'm looking forward to the next 25 years. I'm looking forward to learning so much more than I know now. I'm looking forward to all the fun, all the passion of it. It's a wonderful life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people use age a lot as you hear it all the time. Well, you know, I'm too old, I'm over the hill, all this kind of BS. I mean, that really is BS, right? I mean, when you look at some cultures in the world where centenarians,
are common, and they live with a certain philosophy. There's ways of community. Community is big in some of those places in the world where you see a lot of, you know, the nutrition is good there. But there are certain elements that show up that really we see centenarians vibrant, and that when they do pass, that, you know, they're like 108 or 110, and they're still working in the fields, or they're still having fun, right?
Yes, and I hope to be that way. I've studied all these older cultures. I've studied the Okinawans and people who lived to great ages. And they do. They have a philosophy of working their body, working their mind.
And community. I noticed that's a big one where they break bread. And I know that's big for you. The, you know, being with people and hanging out is something that is quite... it really helps the brain. It helps the psyche or the soul, doesn't it?
I believe so, and I'm a student of Gandhi, and I believe in his philosophy that the more that you give to people, the more you give away, the more you have.
Mm. That's so beautiful. And on that great note, that's a great note to end on. Michael, I so look forward. I feel like a kid. Like Christmas is coming where we get to go play on the island together and spend a whole week and, you know, change some lives and change our own lives and really jump into the adventure that is Kick-Ass.
Well, thank you, David. I'm looking forward to spending the time with you. I have to say that Leslie and I have found that getting to know you has been a great thing in our life.
Hmm. All right. We'll speak to you soon. Ourselves better questions, you know. So for me right now, I feel like there's this big chapter change, and what's coming is a more of a global presence. I really feel called to impact more lives. I feel called to become better at what I do, and I feel called to actually take more responsibility, because I'm not lazy, but I play a lot. So, you know, for everyone else around me who looks at my life, they're like, well, does he ever work? but the thing is, I blend my work with everything I love. You know, I blend my work with my kids, and I blend my work with my partner. You know, we're training this weekend in Regina, Saskatchewan, but Jen's going to come and train there. Why? Because I can design that. I can design a life
yes.
where my partner can show up. She's a yoga teacher, and she's amazing at it. And I can write her into my program. So now, not only am I traveling with the person I love, I can actually co-create with the person I love. And that is what is sort of coming. So for me, I think it's a calling that's to do more, reach more, to surround myself with a stronger team, and to really reach out and shatter my own paradigms, you know, because a lot of my friends play in big ponds, you know, in other words, that they you know, they're really out there reaching millions of people. And I realize that, you know, I know that that is a destiny that I'm being called to, not that I feel I need for my own ego, but I do feel called to it.
Absolutely. And I feel so privileged to listen to you, and I feel very inspired in a way I haven't for a long time. So I believe you absolutely are global, and that I love your normal reality. And I do love the fact that you're suggesting we can do quantum shifts and that anybody can do it. And you're real. Like, you are more real than all the other people I normally read.
Well, thank you. And I think, well, I teach that, right? I mean, because I train trainers. For me, authenticity is everything. And, you know, I could BS you and I could try and make it sound right. But the fact is that doesn't serve me in any way. And it serves everyone listening even less. And a lot of some of my friends who are playing in the big pond, there are two people. You know, there's the image that the public sees, and there's the image at home. And for some, there isn't. There's just one person. And for me, it's that one person, you know, where you're the same, whether you're with your kids or whether you're with your students or whether you're with, you know, that there's complete fearlessness on being completely transparent, because I think it's the messy bits that really have the potential to transform people's lives. It's the shit that I've done that actually relates, that people right now in England are relating to, or, you know, people I grew up with and maybe are relating to, or you in Australia. You know, if I just sat here and talked about theories and philosophies and what you should be doing and what's right to do, I think, you know, we wouldn't be hitting the world like we are right now.
No, I agree. And what I love about spending most days with you is on your podcast is that authenticity and that realness. And I was thinking, you know, I'm quite passionate about pretty much everything Jack Canfield's written, but since having connected with you, I feel like this path is achievable and something I can adopt a lot of your processes and attitudes and strategies and challenges, I guess. Not that you share as many of those, but those things I see as something that I can cross paths with just in my normal everyday life, and being consistently authentic is of highest importance in how I see the world as well, and what I illustrate or sort of model for the people around me as well. So I love that you're doing that, and I love that you're consistently authentic across the board. So thank you.
Yeah, and Jack's a friend of mine, and, you know, we hang out. He's also a partner of mine in the island, you know, and I love Jack. We have the most fun. I laugh more with Jack than anyone. We laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I mean, the last time we were together was in St. Martin, which was just before I went to Africa. In fact, yep. I flew from St. Martin straight to Africa. And I think my sides were aching. When I was hiking Kilimanjaro, my sides were still aching from Jack and I. We had two or three joke sessions when we were together. And so I do have a big, big, big space in my heart for Mr. Canfield there.
Well, I do too. And I'm grateful to him, because it was looking up podcasts with Jack that I found you.
Well, there you go. So now you're running one.
And I have to say that one of the things I do love about you in particular is your open door policy. And I was thinking, I had a little moment of sort of a whimsical thought in my head. I've decided I would love to come to dinner with you and Jack and all the other amazing people that you have in your life. So if I turn up one day, you'll know why.
Well, now you know. You can just show up on my podcast and in 20 seconds be running it. You're probably, you know, well, maybe you should get to Belize in July, you know.
That anything is possible. Like you've just said that. It's like just open your eyes and look around and say, well, what do you want? And go out and take it, claim it.
And you'll be surprised. Sometimes you have to ask for help, right? So you don't know which friends have points points.
Yeah.
So that they may be willing to give to you. You don't know any of these things, right? So let me just tell Jen, because I know Jen, I'm recording a show, just so you know. No, it's all right. She just bang through the door and I can hear her like bang, bang. So you don't know. You don't know what most people don't even look. You know, when the challenge, when something is in front of them like that, the first thing that happens is the default mode, which is, oh, I can't afford it and I don't have the time. And that's why I like challenging people to say, well, listen, you know, what's a better question? How do I afford it? How do I make the time? And quite often with my stuff, because this is going to sound really trite maybe, but I don't have to make money on this stuff. So that's why I charge so cheaply. I mean, for the same thing, some people charge $10,000. And sometimes I'll let people come to a program for a couple of grand that just covers cost. Why? Because I like it. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy doing what I do. And sometimes I don't need to create this big revenue source from it. So, you know, I'm fortunate in that way. But I want to let you know you have about 4 minutes left, young lady, because I'm watching your clock for you.
Oh, you're awesome. Well, I really have one quick question for you, which is all the times when you're interviewing people and you say they've got a book coming out and you say, I'm going to read that. Do you read them, the books? Have you got to them yet? Because you said you're not a big reader.
That's a great question. I'm a funny reader. I would say that I'm a scanner. I have this kind of sense with books where I'll read a chapter or two and I put it down, or I'll skim through it and I'll read backwards sometimes, and I get a sense. So I'm not this guy who devours. I mean, I left school at 15. I could hardly read and write, and I didn't read a book till I was 18. So, and I have ADHD, I think, through the yin yang. So, but some books I will. Some books I'll sit down and I'll read cover to cover, and they'll just absorb me. And other books I have around. Like if I look around my room. You know, and I'm just sort of looking at some of the books by my side right now, you know, but there are books everywhere. I have books all through my house. And so, no, I'm passionate about reading. And I think the reason I started the podcast was because I think, you know, with a podcast, you can run, you can ride, you can sit on the couch, you can sit in the hot tub, you know, you can do all these great things as well as, and with reading sometimes, you know, I can't go ride my bike and listen to a podcast. And so, so for me, this is kind of like, I think the new way of people being able to do two things at once, that they, you know, exercise and listen. But yeah, but I've read a lot of books, and books have changed my life. They certainly, I do believe, you know, leaders are readers. And so, you know, I mean, I'm starting that new podcast, which will come out tomorrow, I think, where I'm going to interview people whose books I love and I've read. And so that's going to be the distinction. Is it's a book I love, I believe in, I've got it in my grubby hands, I've read through it, and I'm saying, hey, you know what, this is one that I really recommend. And I won't bring them out weekly, but there's going to be, you know, Mike Dooley just brought out a new kids book that I want to interview him on. And Carl Studner brought his book out, Click, which I have right in front of me here, and it's gorgeous. So
fantastic. Well, you always wrap up your interviews with the podcast is the Kick-Ass Life, and what does that mean to you? So I wanted to switch that around a little bit and say, if you were to leave one little gem about from the wisdom of David Wood, what would you want to tell people? What would you want to tell the people that I know, my friends and people down in Australia and anywhere else in the world who hasn't actually had the opportunity to interview you? What's the one gem? One little strategy or comment that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, you know, I think, it's a great question. Again, the one gem is yes. Yes, you can. And if there's a feeling inside of you right now, in any part of your life where you're not full or feeling full, you know, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's in, you know, it's in your finances or whatever, there's two choices. You know, if you don't want to get busy at changing it, in other words, if you're not going to step into something bigger and you're not going to, you know, take this challenge on and say, guess what, I'm going to invest in myself, I'm going to take these steps, I'm going to grow myself, I'll grow my income, then get busy loving what you're doing. You don't have to fight it, you know. And I met a guy in a washroom one time who was the, you know, the attendant handing out towels. And he was the happiest guy I've met. And my gardener right now, in fact, Jen said I should interview him. You know, Jeremiah Johnson, you know, my goodness, this guy, he's going through chemo right now. He's been out in my garden for 6 hours today. I'm telling you, this guy's here every day. I only give him a set amount of money a month. And he lives in an old people's home. He just loves it here. And he's the most positive, upbeat. And I just love him. I love him being around. And he tells wildly funny stories. He has no teeth. He's got a bald head. He's going through chemo. You know, twice since he's been working for me, he's been hospitalized. You know, and he's bounces back a few days later. He's, oh, you know, and he's got this, you know, he's from the East Coast. You know, and he's a darling, you know, and he's completely fulfilled and happy. And so there's two choices. If you can either get busy, but I think loving what we have. Now, looking around, whether you're sitting in and I've been there. I mean, I've lived in tents. I've lived on roofs. I've lived in squalor. I've lived in, you know, condemned buildings. You know, I've lived on the street, you know. And so really understanding it's not our stuff that makes us happy. It's us, you know, and we have to love another person fully, we have to love ourselves fully. So getting busy loving our imperfection, loving that the part of us that we're most embarrassed about, the part of us that we judge the most, the part of us that we dislike the most. That's the bit I want to fall in love with, is my most imperfect part. And that's why Jen and I are partners, is because she knows the most important, most, you know, the those the darkest parts of who I am as a person are not hidden. She knows all of those, and she knows that they're completely there on display. So there's nothing hidden, which allows you know to be completely in the moment. So I'd say get busy moving forward, or get busy falling in love with where you're at. One or the other.
I love that. And I would just like to say thank you. And I would love to have you back on my interview again.
What's the name of your show, by the way?
Well, actually, I'm just sort of like piggybacking on the Kick-Ass Life, because that's what you've taught me to do.
Kick-Ass Aussie style. So let me go. I'm going to go a little bit longer, because now I'm going to take over. So here you go. You Facebook me. I answer you back. And we don't have a big, huge conversation, just a few lines. And then I say, well, just contact my assistant, Denise, and then, you know, maybe, you know, you'll interview me, kind of tongue-in-cheek. So you call me, which is just now, and within 20 seconds, you're running your first show.
Yeah, I love it.
What do you think? No, but why do you think that you're running your own show now and I'm your guest? Why has this happened for you?
I feel that it's because I've been waiting for an opportunity. I think I've been holding myself back for a long time, and you were generous enough and maybe intuitive enough to notice that this was just one of those things that should happen. And I decided to face the fear and just go with it. So you gave me the opportunity to actually step up, and I thought, right, well, I really admire you and I really love this process, so I will step up and I'll do it. And I'm passionate about understanding people's stories and where they come from. So you gave me the opportunity to step into that.
How'd you do?
I loved it, actually. It's been fabulous. So much better than I even dared to imagine.
Awesome. You did a great job. All right, there. And listen, I don't know if you have a vehicle that you're interested in, but if you don't, we're going to talk after this show, because listen, it sounds to me like you're ready for that next chapter. So again, you got to find the right vehicle, and that's part of it, right? The right community, the culture of growth. And so you can take a step knowing that you're on a 3 to 5 to 7 year change, right?
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Well, what's your last line? What do I say on the end of every podcast?
Oh, see you on the other side.
Well, and you're on the other side of the world, so I'll see you on the other side.
Fantastic.
Well, I thought she did a fabulous job. You know, very few people can do that, where they're just thrown straight in, and they just have to do it. You know, and before I give you some last thoughts on this, I think, you know, it is time for a song. It is our birthday. I love Stevie Wonder. Let's try this.
Day in your celebration, because we all know in our minds that there ought to be a time that we can set aside to show just how much we love you. And I'm sure you would agree. What could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I know I shouldn't sing, but guess what? I'm this side of the mic, so put your fingers in your ears. Anyway, you know, I'm not going to end with that song. There's, I know Jen's favorite band is U2, and I will end with a different song, not our normal song, but again, as I look back over the year, I feel a deep sense of responsibility to the show, to take it to its next level. I feel a deep responsibility for you as listeners, and a deep sense of gratitude as you've stood by this and watched this emerge. You know, we've got millions and millions of people to reach. And as we sort of sit at the end of the year here and we look at 166 countries, there's people in Korea and Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and you know, remote islands in Tonga and places that you didn't think even computers existed, and Korea, you know, Japan, India, across the world. In England, we have, England... G'day. Well, I shouldn't say g'day. Listen to me. I'm throwing an Aussie at you. But, you know, just thanks. You know, England is, I think, number 4 of top downloads. And, you know, is my that's my birth right there. And I send my love to that little island with many people of all diversity. And just thanks. So as we look back across the 12 months, and we look forward to the coming 12 months and our a new commitment to really up this game
reach more people and impact more lives. I want to play this U2 song, and as a reminder of one of our great adventures, Jen and I were at a U2 concert. So many wonderful stories within the one concert, because we just stepped into the unknown, we accepted the unknown, and we just went for it. And in every moment, just beautiful things happen. So this is just a tribute, not just to the show, but also to Jen standing beside us. And this is, again, one of her favorite bands. So as we say goodbye to this year and look forward to the new year, thank you, and I will see you on the other side.
To take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Amazing. I just love Michael. So if you want to join us, remember, this is one of those things. Saying yes is, like I keep telling you on the show, you have to understand at this price for this retreat, 7 days on a private island with 30 doting staff on casitas and cabanas, which are over the water, in the water. The stilts of the cabanas are in the water. Waking up in this turquoise blue in a marine sanctuary in a UNESCO World Heritage Site overlooking a bird sanctuary, and spending days on an exploration of mind, body, and spirit so that you can really expand into those soft, gentle sides of ourself, those deep parts of connection with self. And then really understand, you know, how to have a physical and vital life like Michael Colgan, where at 74 you're doing one-arm push-ups, and that you're just completely alive and really, really completely immersed in the juice of life. And then his wonderful partner, Leslie, his life partner, who I'm absolutely in love with, who really understands about nutrition and hormones and can help us a little bit understand more about what's going on. And again, this isn't going to be sitting around like in a classroom all the time. We're going to be actually having an adventure. And I'm going to be sharing with you that stepping into the unknown and really helping you understand how to set your mind up for the rest of your life for great success. And of course, I'm going to be taking you on a few adventures. And one of them is one I've been waiting to do for a long time. Imagine you're going to come on an adventure with me that I've been waiting to do, a little step into the Mayan culture. And I do love. This is remarkable. So anyway, get your bum off the couch, and you can go to thekickasslife.com/Belize, thekickasslife.com/Belize, and just make it happen. And I thought Jack Johnson, who we played just before to introduce Michael, I think this song is so apt for some of you. It's called Sitting, Waiting, Wishing.
I sang your songs, I danced your dance, I gave your friends all a chance. Putting up with them wasn't worth never having you. Oh, maybe you've been through this before, but it's my first time, so please ignore the next few lines, cause they're directed at you. I can't always be waiting, waiting on you.
That's right, I can't be waiting on ya. You know, you want to live the kick-ass life, you're gonna have to do something about it. And you know, I always say this, I've never regretted saying yes to a great adventure. Never, 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 never. It may be a little hard sometimes financially. And remember, for most of my life, I was broke. Now, fortunately, I'm not anymore. But, you know, I was broke. And I had to make decisions based with where I didn't have the money. But I still, when you think what you waste on coffee, not waste, because if you love coffee, you're not wasting it. But you know what I'm saying? How many ways we waste and let money piddle through our fingers, when we could really make a decision to go and do something and be on this island together and have the most incredible week of your life. I promise you that. That's a promise. The promise is that you will say to me, you know, that was the most incredible week of my life. So we're looking forward to having you there. And in saying that, you know, the Cranberries had a great song called Dreams. And I want you to think about that. Well, your dreams, and think about what Michael said. The dream to lead a life where when you're 74, you are looking forward to the best 25 years of your life yet to come, and that you're in the best physical shape, that your body is just like alive, it's strong. And we can do that. We can do that together, because that's part of this whole journey of stepping into something extraordinary. So remember what I said, if you want to come play with us, right, you can go to thekickasslife.com/Belize. And think about it. It's time for us to get your dreams and notch it up a gear. Hey, you know what? As a kick-ass life practitioner, you better be out there today squeezing the juice out. I got a funeral to go to today, you know, and I'm a great believer in the celebration of life. And, you know, we'd like to all think we're going to live a long life. And this guy did, you know. He lived a long life, and he was fully alive the day he passed. But, you know, some of us won't, and some of us it's going to be a lot shorter than we expected. So get busy, squeezing the juice. But, you know, squeeze the juice out of it, you know. Give yourself permission to lead an extraordinary life. And it's not about the money, ladies and gentlemen, although that's an easy fix. I can help you with that if you want. I can help you if you want to create wealth. But, you know, you're going to have to change. You can't stay the same and want something differently. You know, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that got you into it. Great men have told us that before. So if you really want to change, you can't listen to that stinking thinking. You can't let that mind, that monkey brain, tell you what's good for you. Because you just look at the results. If it ain't working, find someone you trust. It doesn't have to be me. Find somebody else. But take a new path. You can't keep going down the same road with the same mindset and expect different results. It ain't gonna happen, and it's not gonna happen fast. Transformation, true transformation, is about a culture of transformation, a community of transformation. You know, that's why I'm a true believer in getting people immersed around with people who are like-minded, like Sanjay and Chelsea, you know, allowing them to step into a whole environment of people who are as passionate and driven and as alive and kind and generous and open. And all they were lacking was the vehicle and the community of people to say, hey, let's do it together, right? So again, be careful. Don't fall into that trap. But listen, I really enjoyed having Michael on the show. I love having you here. This is our first show after the birthday, or it's our second, I suppose. And if you loved having Jen on the show, go on onto the reviews of iTunes and leave her a little message. Let her know and give her some feedback. She enjoyed it. I loved having her on there. But it's your show, so it's up to you. Anyway, we'll see you on the other side, everyone. Thank you. Have an amazing, amazing, amazing day.
That was kick-ass.